أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته الأقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساخت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم وما أصابك من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم وقال الإمام السجاد عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم لا تحدث لي عزا ظاهرا إلا أحدثت لي ذلة باطنة عند نفسي بقدرها صلوات The musibat and the tests that we face in our life is basically dependent on our own actions, and not only that, but the extent of the masail that we face, the magnitude of the tests and turmoils that we face, and the nature of the musibat that we face is also dependent on the aqidah, the belief, and the a'mal, the actions of the person. So we have in Ilal al-Shara'i' Sheikh Saduq narrating this narration from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wa salam. That our sixth Imam had said, "Inna fi kitabi Aliyin alayhi salamu." Definitely, it's narrated in the book of Imam Ali alayhi salam that in the writing of Imam Ali alayhi salam that "Inna ashad al-nas bala'an al-nabiyyun." The most severe among the people in terms of the tests are the prophets. That means prophets are the ones who face the most severe tests. ثُمَّ الْوَصِيُّونَ And after the prophets are the deputies. It means the deputies of the prophets. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ And after that, the most resembling and then the less resembling. So the more a person resembles to the prophets and their deputies, the more we will face the bala in our life. And the less we are resembling and mushabih to the prophets and the awsiya, the less will be the test from Allah for us. وَإِنَّمَا يُبْتَلَ الْمُؤْمِنُ عَلَىٰ قَدْرِ أَعْمَالِهِ الْحَسَنَةِ And then our sixth Imam says that a mu'min is subjected to the bala according to the magnitude of his good deeds. ف فمن صح دينه وصح عمله اشتد بلاؤه. Whoever's religion is correct, which I said in the beginning, if our aqidah is correct, the deen that we obey and follow and believe in is correct, the religion that we, you know, that we belong to is correct, وصح عمله, and whoever's action is correct. So when we have a correct religion and we have a correct action, then what's going to happen is that اشتد بلاؤه, the bala and turmoil that we face, the tests from Allah that we face, will be more shadeed and severe. وَذَلِكَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, and the reason for that, behind that, the reason for that is that our Imam says that certainly Allah عز وجل لَمْ يَجْعَلِ الدُّنْيَا صَوَابًا لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا عُقُوبَةً لِكَافِرٍ. Allah did not make dunya a sawab, a reward for a mu'min. So this dunya, nothing of this dunya, nothing in this dunya is, you know, is, it can be taken as a sawab and reward. So if it is taken away, in other words, nothing to worry about. It was not a sawab and reward anyways. So in the bala, if we face more bala and we have less of dunya remaining, fine, that was not even a sawab for us. This is not a sawab. وَلَا عُقُوبَةً لِكَافِرٍ, and those who are kafir, you know, this dunya is not a complete reward, in other words. You know, it is a qubat for kafir. This dunya, it has a qubat and punishment for kufar. You know, الدُّنْيَا سِجْنٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ وَجَنَّةٌ لِلْكَافِرٍ. Dunya is a prison for a mu'min and a paradise for the kafir. So, the kafir is punished by Allah in this dunya as well, because we have the mukafatul amal that we believe in. But it is not the complete punishment for a kafir. Now this is the explanation that I am giving. I am not doing the translation. I am giving the explanation of the hadith. وَمَنْ نُسَخَفَ دِينُهُ وَضَعُفَ عَمَلُهُ قَلَّ بَلَاؤُهُ. Whoever's religion is sakhif, you know, and valueless and hollow. Whoever's religion is a valueless, incorrect religion, has batil things in it. Whoever's religion comprises of falsehood, then وَضَعُفَ عَمَلُهُ, and his action is weak. What is going to happen if your religion is batil, if you are believing in batil and falsehood things, and your actions are weak? قَلَّ بَلَاؤُهُ, your bala and test that you would face in life would be lesser. Then Imam alayhi salam, وَالْبَلَاءُ أَسْرَعُ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ الْمُتَّقِي, and bala and test is faster towards a mu'min who is pious and muttaqi, مِنَ الْمَطَرِ إِلَى قَرَارِ الْأَرْضِ, faster than the rain towards the earth. You can see how the rain goes towards the earth. You know, if it's a plain and fertile surface of the land, the rain settles there easily. If the rain is falling over stones, it doesn't stick over the stone. It falls and just it's washed away. It doesn't stay over the stone. But if it falls over the flat, fertile surface of land, it will accommodate the rain completely and it will fall over it. The bala towards a mu'min who is muttaqi is more fast than the rain towards a flat, clean, fertile surface of earth where it can be settled, in other words. So we find that not just that, but Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also has said in another hadith that لو أن مؤمنا كان في قلة جبل, if a mu'min was at the summit, the peak of a mountain, ala qullati fi qullati jabalin, laba'ath Allah ilayhi azza wa jal, laba'ath Allah azza wa jal ilayhi man yu'zihi li ya'jurahu ala dhalik. Allah is definitely going to send somebody to torture him there so that Allah can give the reward to him on that. So even if you run away, if you are a mu'min and you run away to the peak of a mountain away from the society,
You cannot run away from the bala as long as you are a mu'min. So we are not supposed to be afraid, we are not supposed to be, you know, running away from the bala, and we are not supposed to even ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the bala from me. You know, this is a very silly dua. If somebody asks this dua from Allah, oh Allah, don't test me at all. This is against the Holy Quran. You think Allah will go against His own Quran? Allah is never going to go against His own Quran, where Allah has already promised, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّهُمْ بِشَيْءٍ. Isn't it right? بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ. So it's a promise of Allah, it's a clear verdict of God. He is definitely going to test you with all those various types of tests mentioned in the ayat of the Holy Quran. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, fear, وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ, decrease in the money and the lives, والثمرات, and the fruits, which is narrated in tafsir, mentioned in tafsir as the death of the children, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِي, and you know, hunger, بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ, fear, something of the fear and hunger, وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give the basharat and glad tidings to the ones who have the sabr. So bala is bound to arrive on each one of us. Now the higher our iman and taqwa, the higher will be the level of bala that we will face. Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, because of the reason they were at the highest level of iman and highest level of taqwa, they faced the highest of the balas from the kuffar and munafiqeen. So much the Prophet used to say, he had said in his hadith that ma udhiya nabiyyun misla ma udhito. No Prophet was tortured as much as I was tortured. So Prophet was the one who was tortured more than anybody else. And likewise, after the Holy Prophet, it's Imam Ali alayhi salam who similarly faced the similar types of tortures, and it's the rest of the Imams who faced the similar types of tortures as well, because they're all part of the same nur. You know, awwaluna Muhammad wa akhiruna Muhammad wa awsatuna Muhammad wa kulluna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So if the Prophet was present in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he would have done exactly what Imam Ali did. You know, Prophet didn't have the time to fight a battle against munafiqeen. Ya ayyuhar rasul, jahid al kuffara wal munafiqeen waghluz alayhim. Quran commands the Holy Prophet, or the Messenger, you know, jahid al kuffara wal munafiqeen. Do jihad, you know, against the kuffar and the munafiqeen, in other words. So Prophet never had a chance to do the jihad against munafiqeen in his life. There were the munafiqeen available, isn't it right? And quite a lot of them in Medina available, but Prophet never had the chance to do that. And that, you know, responsibility of the Holy Prophet was done by Amir Mu'mineen alayhi salam in his time. He's the one who did the jihad against the munafiqeen in the time of his khilafat. And Amir Mu'mineen becomes the Khalifa. All the wars that he fought against, none of them were against the kuffar. The wars in time of the Holy Prophet are the wars that the kuffar and mushrikeen waged and initiated against the Prophet. None of the wars were against the munafiqeen. Whereas all the wars that Imam Ali fought in his khilafat, you know, were against the munafiqeen, and none of them were against the kuffar. And Prophet had already said to Imam Ali salam, ستقاتلوا بعدي الناكثين والقاسطين والمارقين. Soon you are going to fight after me the ناكثين. ناكثين means نقص العهد, breaching of the covenant. We are referring to the people of Jamal, Ashab of Jamal, who accepted the Talha and Zubair and company, who accepted the walayat and khilafat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and after accepting it, they betrayed and they rebelled. So they are called, they did the naqsul ahad, breaching of the covenant. They are called the naqiseen in the Islamic, in the hadith and in Islamic history. And wal mariqeen,
والناكسين والقاسطين والمارقين. قاسطين is from the Arabic word of قسط. We have a word called قسط in Arabic, which is close to the meaning. There is quite a difference of meaning with the adl. Adl and qist, we use it very frequently together, but they are not in the same meanings, but they are close. So there is a word which is called qist. Then there is another word in Arabic which is called al-qast, with the fatha on the qaf. Al-qast يعني al-zulm wal-jawr, means doing zulm and injustice. Qasitin means the rallying. And this terminology of the Holy Prophet, this istilah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was referring to the Ashab Muawiyah and his company. They are the ones who are the zalimeen. So, سَتُقَاتِلُ بَعْدِي النَّاكِثِينَ وَالْقَاسِطِينَ وَالْمَارِقِينَ. And the mariqeen, you know, mariq in Arabic means kharij. Somebody who, that stepped out of the limits and hudud of Islam. They are no longer considered to be a Muslim. And this mariqeen, this istilah of mariqeen of the Holy Prophet is referring to the Khawarij. So the Battle of Nahrawan, and all of them were kuffar, despite the fact they were claiming to be Muslims, and not just that, claiming to be the best Muslims. And not just that, they were praying Salatul Layl, Namaz al-Shab. You know, right? Almost all of them, if not all, used to pray Salatul Layl. And they have, they have the marks on their foreheads for Latunus Sujood, how Abdullah ibn Abbas says to Imam Ali alayhi salam, when Imam Ali sends him to do the nasihat and advice before starting the battle, Abdullah ibn Abbas went there upon the sunnah of Rasulullah and Amin Mumin to do the nasihat before the battle. Islam does not want to shed the blood of anyone. And after he returns back, he said, لَهُمْ جِبَاهُمْ قَرِحَ لِتُونِ السُّجُودِ. And they have marks on the forehead because of the lengthy sajdas. وَأَيْدٍ كَسَفَنَاتِ الْإِبَلِ. And their hands are like the hooves of the camels. That means become so strong. You see, hoof of a camel is strong. Because it strikes the ground, it becomes hard. So their hands are so hard, just like the hooves of the camels. Why? Obviously because they have been doing so much sajdas, putting their hand over the soil and turbat. Isn't it right? So it becomes hard. But they used to call Imam Ali to be a kafir. Isn't it right? So this is the ghabawa, this is the zaygh, this is the kaji, this is the himaqat, this is the lack of wa'i, lack of understanding and basirat in the religion. That's why we constantly focus on people. Stop the silly behavior and silly approach towards Islam. So these people were part of the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Khawarij were with Imam Ali alayhi salam, isn't it right? In the battle. And then they turn, in the middle of the Battle of Siffin, they turn against him. So basically, we should seek the refuge. Na'udhu billah min dhalik wal'iyadhu billah. We should seek the refuge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from kaj fikri. الزيغ الذين في قلوبهم زيغ. This is what we are trying to avoid, having political awareness, constantly saying that, and stop supporting religion from politics. So a person, this behavior can lead a person to become murtad an al-Islam, kharij min al-Islam. Wal mariqeen, mariqeen means kharijin. The Prophet is calling them to be the ones who are out. That means out of the hudud of Islam. They are no longer Muslims. Even though they are praying Salatul Layl, and Imam Ali al-Islam never felt proud over killing the kuffar in the time of Rasulullah. You never find any hadith. Throughout the life of the Holy Prophet, Imam Ali was the best champion, doing the most heroic battles against the kuffar and mushrikeen. But you never find a single hadith where Imam Ali al-Islam feeling proud over killing the kuffar and mushrikeen. I never read in my life. The only hadith that we learned where Imam Ali felt proud over killing somebody was the statement that he said about killing the Khawarij. He says, أَنَا فَقَعْتُ عَيْنَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِيَجْتَرِيَ عَلَيْهَا أَحَدٌ غَيْرِي. I was the one who broke the eye of fitna. And there was no one who had the courage to do that other than me. So Imam Ali is feeling muftakhir and proud over killing the Khawarij. Alhamdulillah. They are Ahlul Qibla, isn't it right? When you're fighting a war against Ahlul Qibla, that's where you face the opposition. If you're fighting, if the war in the time of Rasulullah were against the Kuffar and Mushrikeen, no Muslim is going to oppose it. That's the easy tablet that everybody can eat. Isn't it right? So when you start opposing those people who are praying and fasting, isn't it right? But they are still siding with the Tawaheed. That's where you will face the opposition. No, no, Maulana, we know they are very nice. He's a very, very nice person. He's a very, very nice woman. He prays and fasts. Is that the mizan in your eyes? Just because he's praying and fasting? Is that what we learn in the Seerat of Ahlul Bayt? That's how some people are in their judgments. And then they say, you don't judge. Don't judge the people. Leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's another thing that some people got from the Masihiyin and Nasara. There's nothing to do with Islam. So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim and Kareem. And Allah never takes the ni'mat away from any person or any nation. Any ni'mat that Allah gives to anybody or any nation, He never takes it away. It's against the sunnah of Allah, against the rahmat of Allah, which is when rahmati wasa'at kulla shay. My rahmat is expanding over everything. Everything is included under the rahmat of Allah. Allah never ever takes away His rahmat and ni'mat away from any human or anything. It's against His rahmat concept. When does Allah take His ni'mat away? We must understand from Quran. Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran is making it very, very clear upon us. Look at the verses from Surah An-Nahl, verse number 112, where Allah says, وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. And Allah gives the example of a town, a place with the population of people, in other words. كَانَتْ أَمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً. It was secure and mutma'in. يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Its risk and sustenance used to arrive constantly from every side, from everywhere. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. These are people who do كُفْرَانُ النِّعَمُ. كُفْرَانِ النِّعْمَةِ. They did the kufran, they did the kufr towards the ni'mat of Allah. فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They did kufr towards the blessings of Allah. What happened after they did the kufr towards the blessings? فَأَذَاقَهُ اللَّهُ لِبَاسِ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَسْنَعُونَ. So now, as a result of what they did, the kufran, Allah made them taste the libas, the dress of hunger and fear, because of what they used to do. So our actions, in other words, our actions are the ones that attracts the anger of Allah towards us, and the ni'mat is taken away. Otherwise Allah never takes the ni'mat given to anybody. Now when the ni'mat is taken away, we have two options. Either we do the tawbah, which is what a mu'min does. In the life of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, not a single ni'mat that was given to them was ever taken away by Allah. This is what we call the concept of barakat in Islam. Isn't it right? Barakat. Barakat means something like I explained, I think, in one of my speeches long time ago. For those of you who are present, that the barakat is derived from the Arabic word of barak. Barak is the chest of the camel. Lughatan, chest of the camel is called barak. So barakah is derived from that word, because when owner of the camel is pulling the zimam and the reins of the camel up, he wants the camel to stand up. And right, the camel is relaxing, it doesn't want to stand up. So when camel resists, what it does, it sticks its chest over the ground so it cannot be raised.
because there's no laxing. So it's barak over the ground, it's chest. So that's where the word is derived in the Arabic language, in the ilm al-lugha. If you go, ilm al-lugha is a huge and very interesting knowledge of Arabic, you know, where we learn the roots and the reasons of the words of the Arabic language. It's the most deep and interesting language. So those of the ni'mats are called, and you know, it has barakat in the ni'mat if the ni'mat sticks, just like the camel sticks its chest. Just like the camel sticks, those of the ni'mats that stick with you and are not removed are called, you have barakat in that ni'mat. If you don't have the ni'mat any longer, you cannot say, I have barakat. That would be false. Isn't it right? So any ni'mat, let's remember in our life, okay, when I was a young boy, age 16, I used to read 100 ayats of Quran daily. I had this tawfiq from Allah, this opportunity of khair, that I used to read 100 ayat of Quran, for example, daily. But now I no longer read 100 ayat daily. Do I have barakat? No. It will be false if I call barakat. If I had the barakat, I would never leave this ni'mat of Allah go away from me, from my hand. I left it. If I'm no longer reading the 100 ayat daily, isn't it right? This tawfiq of khair has been taken away because I did kufran towards this ni'mat. I don't deserve to get this ni'mat any further until I do the tawbah. And tawbah to kulli shay'in bihasabihi. Tawbah of every sin is in accordance to the nature of that sin. So you have to redo and fix what you did wrong and then do the tawbah. إِذَا فَارَقْتَ سَيِّئَةً We learn in light of the hadith that tawbah is done when you do mufarakat. You get separated from the sin. The wrong that I used to do, God forbid, I need to first get separated from that wrong and then do the tawbah. Not that we continue to do what we are doing wrong and then we say, well, astaghfirullah biyatullah. We are making fun of ourselves. You know, right? Istihza of ourselves. Some people are doing tawbah and they are making fun of themselves. We cannot make fun of Allah. Na'udhu billah min dhalik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never takes the ni'mat away. This is His rahmat. We deserve the ni'mat to be taken away because of our bad deeds, and that's how the ni'mats are taken away and the barakat is gone in any ni'mat. So when this philosophy of Allah is mentioned, you find some of the kuffar say that, well, if that's the case, then why do we have so many ni'mats and we are in rifah? We are in abundance of the material ni'mat, more than the Muslimin. Then if that's the case, then why do we have more? Isn't it right? This is what the kuffar say. And not just say that, you know, they are asking that the adab of Allah should better come on us ASAP, because we are not believing in God, we are kafir, isn't it right? And then we are misbehaving. This is what the kuffar used to say. So Quran addressing that issue has said, وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالْعَذَابِ وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. They are seeking, you know, speed, you know, they are seeking the azab to arrive fast upon them, in other words, and Allah is never going to breach His promise. Allah has a fixed time for everything according to His absolute knowledge, and He is going to do the things according to His own absolute knowledge. He's not going to bend towards the jahil of the people. What the people ask sooner, so he should do it. Why should he do that? وَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ. Allah is never going to breach his promise. And not just that, another verse of Holy Quran says that that جَعَلْنَا لِمَهْلِكِهِمْ مَوْعِدًا. For their destruction, we have made a fixed time, a time. So there is a time frame already decided by Allah for the halakat and devastation of theirs. When that time arrives, that's where the halakat and destruction will take place. Nobody can hasten the azab of Allah ahead of the hikmat that He has decided. For the mu'mineen, his policy is different. When it comes to the mu'mineen who do the misbehavior towards Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them in this dunya. Quran says, لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Surah Ar-Rum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes them taste some of what they did. Not all of what. This dunya is not the mahal, the place of complete adab and the place of complete punishment at all. You know, somebody kills 2 human beings, you can only kill him once as qasas. You cannot kill him twice. This dunya is not the place of complete punishment. It's impossible. The nature of the life in this world makes it impossible to give complete punishment. There has to be an akhirat where the complete punishment can take place, when the people are burning in hell and their hellfire is burning their skins and melting them down, their Allah is replacing the skin again. So the punishment can take place properly and completely. Who knows the product better than the manufacturer? Allah is our manufacturer, isn't it? He knows how to punish and he knows best. We are his product. لِيُذِيقَهُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا So Allah makes them taste some of what they did. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ Maybe they return back. So when we taste the punishment, sometimes that's the way we are. When we face problems, that's where we remember Allah. There are people who get reminded by various ways. Some people get reminded by one nasihat. One Badawi person, a desert dwelling, illiterate person, comes to Medina and he asks Rasulullah to teach him Quran. Prophet asked one of his ashab to teach him Quran. And this sahabi taught him Surah Al-Shams. Only one surah. Surah Al-Shams, Al-Shamsi wa Duhaha. A jahil person, there were no schools in the desert, isn't it right? But he came and he's sincere to learn about the teachings of Quran and Islam. And this sahabi, upon the hukm of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, taught him one surah of Quran. And he said, when he learned the surah, he said, that's enough for me. And he went. He went away. And Prophet said, Raja'a faqihan. This person went away as a faqih. So for some people, one surah can make them faqih. For some people, you can read ayat and ayat and ayat and piles of ayat upon them and piles of hadith, and they don't change in their behavior. They don't come to change. They don't want to change. They think they're okay. For a jahil, badawi, baddu, bedouin person, one surah is enough to change. For some people, the whole Quran is not enough to change. This is the level, every human is on a different level, isn't it right? So Allah should treat every human in a different way. And that's how He does. There's no one way that He deals with the people. For everyone's belief and behavior is different. Allah's behavior towards everyone is in accordance to what He deserves. And those are the people who have no hope in their islah. They will never get corrected. No matter what you say, they are so stubborn and lajuj, lajajat, hardharmi in their behavior that they're not ready to listen, they're not ready to change. For them, the policy of Allah is that what Quran says, اعملوا ما شئتم, do what you want to do. Like Hazrat Shu'aib has said, اعملوا على مكانتكم, he said to his people, do what you want to do. Inni amelun. I will do what I want to do, in other words. So, you know, so this is what the Seerat of Anbiya is. So we find, for there are some people who don't listen to the warnings. They knowingly continue to do what they are doing, not unknowingly. You know, knowingly continue to do what they are doing. A time arrives that Allah's policy is that Allah leaves them alone. That's the worst that could happen to a human being, that Allah leaves him alone. Because Prophet has prayed in his dua, Allahumma la takilni ila nafsi. In some of the narration, Allahumma la takilna ila anfusina. Tarfata an aynin abada. Oh my Lord, don't leave me up to my own nafs for the blinking of an eye, that mere fraction of a second. for even a fraction of a second, don't leave it to up to me. That means take the control of my life in your hands. So there are some people who don't realize this policy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly giving chances to the kuffar. Isn't it right? The Quran says in Surah Al-Ra'd, فَأَمْلَيْتُ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ. So I gave them a chance. أَمْلَيْتُ, I gave them muhlat and chance. لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, towards those who did the kufr. For kuffar, Allah gives them muhlat, chance. ثُمَّ أَخَذْتُهُمْ, then I grabbed them. So Allah gives chances to kuffar. That's His policy towards the kuffar. Right? And another ayat of Holy Quran which was recited by Sayyida Zainab Salamullahi Alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa
ajil faraj. Before Yazid La'anatullahi Alayh in the Darbar. La yahsabanna alladhina kafaru annama numli lahum khayrun li anfusihim. Isn't it right? So this ayat of Quran is saying that those who did the kufr should not think that, you know, the muhlat and chance that we give to them is khair for them. إِنَّمَا نُنْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا. The only reason why we are giving them the chance so that they will increase more in the sins. So, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and they have an insulted torment. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't kill Yazid straight away. Isn't it right? He gave chance for 2 more years. Allah wants more sins to be done by this kind of arrogant who is intentionally and knowingly not listening to Allah and the Quran and disbelieving in Quran and making fun of Quran. Fine, this is the dunya you want to love, you are loving it, get it more, do more sins, that's what you want, do it. This is the policy of Allah towards the kuffar like Yazid. Do it. You want it? Do it. So they will do more of the sins knowingly because they have been warned already. So we find where this policy is in total contrast with the policy that he Allah has towards the awliyaullah. For awliyaullah, Allah's policy is very, very different. So look at the situation of Hadrat Yusuf ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was the most handsome of all the prophets, isn't it right? Obviously less than Rasulullah, but better than the rest of the prophets of God. And the narration tells us that once Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam looked in the mirror, he was so nice looking, and he thought to himself, if I were a slave, no one could fix my price. He did not say it. This was just a khayal, a takhayyul. Having a thought is not haram. Prophets are ma'soom, they don't do the sins, isn't it right? But this is what he was not supposed to think on those lines. Isn't it right? This is what we call tarkul awla. So some of the prophets did tarkul awla. Allah did not like this thought. It's not a haram to think about harams or think about any other wrongs. You know, it's not haram, but it's not appropriate for the awliyaullah, for the beloved servants of Allah. Now we find that Allah makes the arrangement in a way that the same prophet Hazrat Yusuf is now sold as a slave. Isn't it right? And not just that they sold him. The Quran says, شَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دراهم معدودة. They sold him in, you know, in very low price, in other words. Some of the narrations in the history say his price was set as 18 dirhams. What is 18 dirhams? Nothing. You're buying a human being. Isn't it right? 18 dirhams is like almost nothing. It's free. So وَكَانُوا فِيهُ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ Quran says, and they were bi-i'tina, you know, not even doing tawajjuh, not even paying attention, not even giving importance to him. When they were selling him, they had no importance given to him. Look at how he was sold. How he was sold. The qissa of Hazrat Yusuf a.s. is considered by the Quran to be ahsan al-qasas, best of all the stories. There's so much to learn from that qissa. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Surah Yusuf says, so we find that the dua of Imam al-Sajjad, before I come to the end of my speech, the dua of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, which I recited, that's where our Imam, dua number 20 of Sahifat al-Sajjadiyya, look at the azamat of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam. One of the reasons why our Ahlul Bayt are greater than all the prophets of God, other than Rasulullah. Why they are afdal. Look at the comparison, apples to apples and oranges to oranges. Imam al-Sajjad in dua number 20 says, Allahumma la tuhdis li izzan wahiran illa ahdasta li dhillatan batinatan inda nafsi biqadariha. Allah, don't make for me a wahiran, apparent izzat and honor, except when you cause for me an inside zillat and insult, zillat and being lowliness from the inside, zillat and batina. That means whenever you honor me, give me izzat from the inside, make me feel that I am zaleel. Whenever you give me izzat from the zahir, from the inside, make me feel that I am zaleel. Imam Sajjad is never zaleel. This is how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam are the most aween of all. That's how they are. Our scholars say the dua of Ahlul Bayt are ad'iyatun ta'alimiyya. They are teaching us how, they are making us learn how to behave towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would have no way to learn how to talk to Allah, how to seek our dua from Allah, had it not been for the Rasul and Ahlul Bayt to teach us. This is how they taught, they are teaching us. They are already mu'azzaz in the eyes of Allah. They are teaching us that whenever we should seek this dua from Allah, whenever you give us any izzat, zahiran, you should cause a zillat from the inside for me, in the nafsi, to myself, biqadaraha, in the same magnitude of the izzat, the same magnitude of the zillat, cause me a zillat from the inside. This is how you would balance from not having ujb and khudpasandi. Right? Which is a halakat for a person. So we find that there are people who, if they are given a little bit of izzat, they step beyond their limits. They start saying and doing things which are not Islamically correct. Islamically, the sign of a muttaqi person is that authority and izzat and power does not lead him to step out of the hudud of Islam and do tajawuz and ta'addi and do, using wrong words or abusive words or abusive behavior or wrong behavior towards people. They're misusing and abusing of power. Power corrupts the people who don't have the taharat and the qalb. Right? So we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the power to those who have taharatul qalb, and Allah has awarded them great darajat. Tilka darul akhirah naj'aluha. How Imam Ali mentions this ayat of Quran in khutbatun shikshiqiyya. Tilka darul akhirah naj'aluha lilladhina la yuriduna uluwan fil ardi wala fasada. That, in other words, we learn in the light of this verse that place of akhirat is for those people who don't seek highness or fasad and mischief in this world. And when this kind of taharat is available, these people have great darajat in Allah. And Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam showed the daraja of every person among his companion to him in the night before Ashura. The daraja and level of everyone was shown to him. So the hijabat were removed. All of them were Ahl al-Yaqeen. Isn't it right? And all of them were Awliya Allah. And Imam Hussein showed them the exact place in the paradise. This includes all the Ashab who were there and present. All of them. In Hazrat Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam, in the night before Ashura, is encouraging, is asking the Bani Hashim to take a lead over the Ashab. Tomorrow when the day of Ashura happens, the Bani Hashim should take a lead over the Ashab. Look at the spirit, look at the taharat of the qalb. They are ready to give away everything they have ahead of others, not protecting and saving their life. I save my child, I save my daughter, I save my life first, I save my money. Let other people help for Islam and the job will be done by somebody else. Let them do it. This behavior of some people shows they fail to understand the concept of khair in Islam. Because they are mahroom, these people are mahroom, who are letting other people do the good job and they are protecting themselves and their money. So we find the seerat of Ahlul Bayt is they are taking sabqat and lead. Abul Fadl Abbas is addressing the Banu Hashim. He is the lead person, he is the commander of the army. Anta sahibul liwa'i. He has the flag of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He deserves to carry the flag of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Look at the taharat of Abul Fadl Abbas. He deserves to carry the flag of a tayyib and tahir person like Imam al-Hussein, and from whose noor the entire jannat is created, from the noor of Hussein. Inna Allah khalaqa al-jannata min noor al-Hussein. Allah created jannat from the noor of Hussein alayhi salam. So we find, and in the khaymah, a Muslim ibn Awsajah salamullahi alayhi, Muslim is addressing the ashab. Tomorrow when the normal day of Ashura comes, we should take a lead over the Banu Hashim. Look at the adamat of these ashab. Inni la ara ashaban awfa min ashabi. I don't see companions more faithful than my companions. Wala ahla baytin abar wa awfa min ahla bayti. Nor do I see the Ahlul Bayt more good doers and more faithful than my Ahlul Bayt. Definitely this is the adamat of the Ahlul Bayt of Imam Hussein and the ashab of his. And we find this also includes the azamat of Dhahab al-Kalbi salamullahi alayhi. It's just few days he became a mu'min from a Masihi. Isn't it right? From a Nasrani. And Dhahab al-Kalbi was not a Muslim, and he met Imam Hussein on his way. But Imam Hussein sends a message and his mother sends him towards Imam al-Hussein, and he becomes a Muslim, he becomes a mu'min, and his mother and wife all embrace Islam. So almost approximately 13 or 14 days that he had become a Muslim and mu'min. And look at the azmat of Dhahab al-Kalbi. That now Dhahab al-Kalbi, when he goes for the jihad, and the ashqiya, you know, ashqiya kill Dhahab al-Kalbi, and he reaches the daraja of shahadat. Look at the shakawat of these ashqiya. They are throwing away the head of Dhahab al-Kalbi towards his mother. How hard is that for the mother to embrace the head of the son? You know, and they are throwing away, after killing him, they cut off the head and throw away towards the mother. And look at the azmat of the mother of Dhahab al-Kalbi. She hugs the head and then she throws the head away. Whatever is given in the way of Allah, I don't need it. In other words, she gives the head away for the, look at the azmat of these ashab. And we find that, look at the azmat of Zuhair and Sa'id, who are standing in front of Imam al-Hussein in the Salat al-Zuhr. Look at the, and they are taking the arrows over their chest. Every time an arrow comes, sometimes Zuhair comes forward. Look at the sabqat they take towards the khair. So tomorrow, Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha, she cannot ask them that my son, was he less dear to you or your own life was more dear to you?
Hazrat Zahra salamullah alayha cannot ask that to them, because Saeed considered Imam Hussain to be more dear to him than his own life. Saeed is moving forward to take the arrows over his own chest, so Imam Hussain remains safe. The son of Fatima Zahra remains safe. So he's helping Sayyidah Zahra salamullah alayha. He's helping Rasulullah. It is not Imam Hussain who's being slaughtered. It is actually Rasulullah being slaughtered. Imam Hussain is the nafs of Rasul, is the nur of Rasul, is the son of Rasul. You find sometimes you have to move forward to take the arrow over his chest. So that's why, that's how Imam Hussain remains safe. And look at the Azmat Abu Sumama As-Sa'idi. Abu Sumama is the one who says to Imam Hussain, this is the beginning time of Zuhr prayers. Imam looks towards the sky and says, Naam hadha awwal waqtaha. Yes, this is the beginning time of it. And Saluhu man yakufu anna hatta nusalli. Imam Hussain said to him, Zakarta salata ja'alaka Allah min al-musallin al-zakirin. You recall the prayers, may Allah include you among those who pray and remember. We find this is the azmat of Abu Sumama As-Sa'idi. We find, look at the azmat of Habib ibn Mudahir. Habib ibn Mudahir al-Asadi. Habib is the one who is following the footsteps of Imam Hussain literally and really. Since his childhood, we find he used to walk over the footsteps of Imam Hussain. That's how his father, Hazrat Mudahir, salamullahi alayhi, has raised him. And picking the swine, the turbat from the feet of Imam Hussain and pouring over his head. This is the azmat of Habib ibn Mudahir. من الحسين بن علي إلى الرجل الفقيه. This letter is from Hussein son of Ali towards the man who is faqih, Habib ibn Mudahir. And Imam Hussein, according to that narration, wrote that letter to Habib and is asking for the help from Habib, that we are surrounded by the enemies. And if you can come to help, وَأَنْتَ تَعْلَمُ قَرَابَتِي مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. And you know my relationship to Rasulullah. What a great relationship that Imam Hussain has, which is does not match the relationship of anyone else. This is the relationship with that Imam Hussain has towards the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that Imam Hussain's letter is received by Habib, and he, when he was there in the shop of a person who is selling the itr and perfumes, and this person says to Habib, why don't you buy some khibab for your beard? Because Habib, his beard was white. He's a very old man. His beard is white in the hub of Imam Hussain. In the ibadat of Allah, his life is full of the hub and mawaddat of Ahlul Bayt. And now he replies back to the person, I want to put a khidab on my beard that the color of that khidab never washes away. He's referring to his own blood. I want to put a khidab of my blood on my beard. So he sends his ghulam to that such and such place with the horse to wait for me. And some narrations say, when Habib arrives a little bit late, the servant was talking to the animal that, don't be worried if my master does not come, because I'm going to ride over you and go and sacrifice my life for Imam Hussain. Imam Habib is very, very dear to Imam Hussain. This is a rahmat of Imam Hussain that he has provided for Habib ibn Mudahir. He does not stand in need of Habib. And we find when this qafila of Hazrat Zainab and the Ahlul Bayt and the Ufara arrives in the bazaar of Kufa, and Qasim ibn al-Habib comes, the son of Habib ibn Mudahir, he learns that his father became shaheed along with Imam Hussain. Qasim ibn al-Habib comes towards the bazaar of Kufa, and he finds the head of his father is there with one of the ashqiyah. He takes his sword out. He cannot tolerate. He takes his sword out to fight against the Ashqiya, because he cannot tolerate the head of his father remains in the hands of the killers of his father. I would definitely like to say to Mawla Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, Yabna Rasulullah, Yabna Rasulullah, the head of your father Hussain al-Shaheed is over the spear, and you are watching the head of your father from Karbala to Kufa and from Kufa to Sham, and there is no one to take the sword out to defend and to take the head of Imam al-Hussain from the killers of Imam al-Hussain.
ألا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها يا الله 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 اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين يا سيد الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة and three times سورة الإخلاص for Marhum Shakir Hussain and Marhuma Mahlaqa Hussain.